Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening to everyone. And I see Sister Amy, you've made it back with us. It's good to have you back with us. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I am asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us the things that we are in need of and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to the knowledge of this your word. Now, as we prepare for this study, be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to be in the last chapter of 1 Peter. And we'll see what the Lord God has for each one of us there. And we may end up getting into the first chapter of 2 Peter, but we'll have to wait and see, because we don't know yet what God has really got for us. All right. Starting here, chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort to him also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 9. Whom resist steadfastness in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 12. Now Silvanus, a faithful brother to you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salute you, and so does Marcus, my son. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to back up here now to verse 1. Begin to really take a look at this to see what is there for each one of us as we walk through this life. In verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the history that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willing, not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. All right. Now, as we start here, so we don't get too far ahead of ourselves, this section in which we're reading here, the first 5 verses, actually, it introduces the charge to the elders. And that elders is a term borrowed from Israel. And it is used to describe the men who rule in the church. You can get that in, actually, in 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter, that gives us the qualifications for our elders, for our bishops and pastors, and our deacons. And the term is synonymous, and it is a term often overlapping for pastors in some forms of the Protestant church government. Now, we all know that today most that are the head of a church are called pastors. They're not called bishops, because in a lot of our Protestant denominations, a bishop is one that is usually over several churches. He's over what they call a district. And he'll have several. Anyway, he can have anywhere from 5 to 10 churches under him. I have a friend that I have known quite a while that he is a pastor of the denomination church. In fact, he is the pastor of a church of God. But he was also a superintendent or a bishop over 7 other churches. Think about that. Now, you know, but also, he's talking here too about us receiving glory and all from the Lord. The crown of glory is promised to faithful pastors when the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall appear. When he comes back to the church, and the rewards will be realized, as I said, when Jesus returns for his church. You notice I said his church, because regardless of what we name our meeting places, they are all to be a part of the church, the Lord's church. It was his death, his resurrection, and his blood that brought it about and established it. And it is established by the word of Almighty God that we hold in our hand, that we call the Holy Bible. We know too, as we look there in verse 2, tells us to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre, or not for money, but of a ready mind, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing who you are in Jesus and knowing what you have been called to be a part of and to do. And we don't do it by constraint. We do it willingly. And we don't go in this leadership position, as 3 tells us here, neither as being lords over God's heritage. We don't go in there as being everything, better than everyone else, but we go in there as an example to the rest of them, living our lives so that they can follow us and make heaven their home. Is your life being lived that way? If they was to follow you, would they be on the road to heaven? Or would they be on the road for trouble? You see, God's word lets us know exactly how and what we should be. Sometimes it's easy to speak about things, but it becomes a little more complicated to live it out. And we are always to stand in truth, being honest with each other, and always willing to talk things out with each other and to share, because we all are going to be having trials, tribulations, troubles coming against us, every one of us. And that is nothing to be ashamed of. And that is nothing to take you really away from God, as a lot of people look at it. They'll see that you've got a little problem, and they'll say, well, you know, he's got that problem because he or she has done something wrong. No. But the thing about it is, you see, that's Satan trying to lead you away. So it's how you handle that. And if you will turn to the Lord and give those troubles and trials over to Him, and let the Holy Spirit come in to handle them, you'll find things a lot more joyous and a lot easier to make it through them. And you'll come out on the other side stronger than you was when you went into it. And I can tell you that, because you see, I've lived through a lot of things. In my earlier life, before I realized that I needed the Lord Jesus Christ because of things I had done, I had been given up for dead 3 times by men, by doctors, man came. I was sent home once to die within 2 days. But that's the very day that not only did God forgive me, but He healed that body, put me back into a completely whole body, and called me to preach His word. A little country boy that really had no education. I wasn't a college student. I wasn't even a high school student. I had finished the 8th grade. So I know about the power of Almighty God. I know about His teaching. And that's the teaching we all need. We don't need that teaching of school. We've got too many that comes out of those schools preaching about a Jesus they don't even believe in. We need His teaching, the teaching of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. We talked about that just a few minutes ago. That crown of glory has been promised to faithful pastors. They're being called elders. But that's what it's talking about. Those that God has set in our meeting places as the overseer, as our leaders. Now, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You see, we are to humble ourselves before God. We need to do that in prayer. We don't go to Him in such pride that we act like we know more than He does. We need to go to Him with bended knee. In humility, letting Him know that without Him, we are nothing. And without Him and the Holy Spirit of God, we can do nothing. That's why the Lord Jesus was sent into this world, was to bring in all that you and I need in order to make heaven our home. Six, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Know who you are. And know that you're not there to teach God. You are there for God to teach you. And He will. And He will, as the Word tells us here, exalt you. He'll lift you up as you grow. And then you grow some more, He'll lift you again. Now, seven, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. When you go to Him in prayer, go to Him in sincerity and honesty from the heart. And those things that are on your heart and on your mind that is really bothering you, give them to Him. Tell Him about it and ask Him to take them and remove them. Now, and He will. Eight, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You see, he is known as the prince of this world. We're talking about the world things. And he's always on the prowl to seek anyone he can get a hold of to lead away from the Lord our God. He knows where he's going because the Word tells him, and he knows the Word. But you see, that pride that he had, that was just too much. And he thought he can even exalt himself above our God. And he had even a lot of the angels following him until the time that that war took place in heaven and he was kicked out of heaven into this earth. He was put here for the time being. You know where the demons came from? When he was kicked out, a third of all the angels come with him. It's your demon spirits. Think about it. Now, if you want to try to put yourself above the Lord God, remember what happened to him and the angels that thought they knew more and was better. Now, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You see, he knows that those that have their faith in the things of this world and trying to accomplish big things here in this world and wanting the best of what their eyes see out here, the best home, the best car, the biggest bank account, because of pride. They are the ones he can really get a hold of. Now, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now there's that word again that most churches and most of mankind don't want nothing to do with, and they'll tell you that that's not possible. But no one is perfect. But you see, that's not what the Word of God says. Now I'll grant you, they are few, but we do have them. Because when you are a born-again child of God, that's exactly what has happened to you. You see, but that perfection comes from Almighty God. It's not something we can do on our own. It comes from God. And we reach that by walking in obedience unto him and unto his word. Now, 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, Jesus will have dominion forever and ever. And we know he's coming back for his church. And then we know he's coming back the second time to set up his reign here on this earth, his kingdom for 1,000 years, that millennial reign, that he will be king right here on this earth. And those that have made it through this life and made it to be with him will be coming back with him and working with him here during his thousand-year millennial reign on this earth. You see, he will be King of Kings. Now, 12, Basilvanus, a faithful brother to you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. This word gives us the truth and the true grace of Almighty God when we stand in it, with it, and with our Lord and Savior. 13. The church that is at Babylon, elect together with you, salutes you, and so does Marcus, my son. That church that is at Babylon is kind of a symbolic name for Rome. And Peter may have actually been in Babylon, which had a large Jewish population. And this Marcus, he's calling my son, refers to John Mark, whom Paul at one time disqualified him from making a trip with him due to him leaving them on another trip once before. But then Paul later forgave him and used him then in another place. Think about this. We have come now to the end of 1 Peter. And you see, when you really study the Word of God, how much more there is to it than just reading it like a storybook. Look how much more we get out of it. And we need everything we can possibly receive in order to make heaven our home and to walk as the Lord our God wants us to walk and to do the things that he wants you and I to do. Think about these things. So we're going to stop here. I'm not going to go into 2 Peter because, for one, we're not going to have time to get through that first chapter. There's quite a bit there for us to learn and to hold on to and to be a witness to us for things that we do already know, but it gives us even a greater witness. Because you see, when you find things more than once in the Bible, God aims for you to really take notice of that. That is important. Very important. Because we know that all of the Word is important for us. But there are certain things that you and I need to look at a little stronger because of the work each one of us are called to do. Think about this. We're not all called for the same work, but we all have gifts of the Spirit. There is nine of them. There's nine gifts of the Spirit. Oh, Pastor, that's all gone. No, it isn't. Oh, yeah, that all left when Jesus died. No, I hate to tell you, but you're wrong. You are so wrong. I am going to share with you about these gifts. Count them as I give them out to you. You'll find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And beginning with the very first verse. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you and I can say that the Lord Jesus is our Lord, by the Holy Spirit and Almighty God. Now, number four, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with it. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That's one. To another, the word of knowledge. That's your second one. By the same Spirit. To another, faith. That's your third one. By the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. By the same Spirit. Oh, that gets healing. That's gone. No, it ain't. You see, God just said so. Now, to another, the working of miracles. You see, they're not gone either. To another, prophecy. To another, disconcerting of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. Because he'll only give you what you will use. And he goes on to tell you that he puts them in the church. They should be in our churches. We're not seeing them today, are we? Why? Because our churches got weak and they are preaching too much that is contrary to the word of Almighty God. But we talked about the gifts. I wanted you to know what they were by the word of God. And like I said, there's nine of them. Now, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we close your word. We do thank you for this word, Father. Because without this word, Father, we'd have no knowledge. We'd be here lost, undone. And we are thankful for it, because it is a guide to help us to make our way home, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ through eternity. Now, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do pray for those that are in need, those that are walking in darkness, for each and every one that is not yet born again. Use us, Father, that we can help someone else to become that child of God, your child. Now, Father, we pray for Jerusalem and Israel. We pray for peace to them. But, Father, we pray more for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And, Father, this land of ours, we pray, Father, for the help of the Holy Spirit to work with us, to bring this land to repentance, and to help us to remove those that are evil from leadership, to replace them with ones of righteousness, so that this land, Father, can be put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we come to a close, I pray that you be with each one of us. Keep us in health. Keep us safe, Father. And bring us back together again. At 10 a.m. in the morning. And back into your word. So, Father, that we can grow stronger, straighter, and walk in obedience unto you and your word. This, Father, is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Everyone have a great evening. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good evening, everyone.